Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 87, I Am Adopted. Today is Friday, February 27th, 2009. Thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is episode 87, I Am Adopted. It was originally recorded on May 12th, 1985. And I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikrokota Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue. In North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more or a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 to register your household for monthly groceries. So be sure to do that. If you know of anyone who needs food, I know these are tough times right now, be sure to have them call us to register their household for groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations, which is a big food ministry in Minnesota. So be sure to help us out. We need your support. You can also join our online community. And if you go to www.pastorpaul.org, up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find some interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, our store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to check out the interactive links and get involved, join the community. You can also call me on the comment line, which is 715-808-0318, and you can leave a comment, ask a question, give a suggestion, or a testimony. So be sure to do that. And you can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Now, when you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find the show notes to today's podcast. And the reason to go there is just to get some more information. It kind of backs up Pastor Paul's message a little bit, as well as gives you extra information. For instance, in the show notes, I've got special links. I've got scripture links, and I have bonus links. So if you're interested in those links, be sure to go check out the show notes. Now, I've linked some special links. These are just kind of fun links. I used today's dates, February 27th and May 12th, and I searched those dates because dates are always kind of interesting in history. And both of those dates happen to be of the time period of the French Wars of Religion. So I could not pass those links up. So those links are in there. You'll be able to check those out. It's just kind of interesting. Religious wars. How about that? That's always interesting. So we have the February 27th, 1594, Henry, King of France, is coronated. We have French Wars of Religion. We have May 12, 1588, the Day of the Barricades. 1584 to 1598, the War of the Three Henrys. So check those links out. I also have a link to predestination, Pastor Paul's message. He deals with the issue of predestination as well. Scripture links are always there, so be sure to check those out so you're not fumbling through your Bible while he's doing the message. You can go there later, link to the scriptures, and read on. And the bonus links basically are just links about kind of my own, what I got out of Pastor Paul's message. And how the podcast works is Pastor Paul recorded these messages, and I give you the original dates of the recording. And what they're on a cassette tape. So what I do is I take that cassette tape and I record it into the computer. And as I'm recording it, I'm listening for the second time, actually, because I've heard all the messages on the original dates, but I'm listening to them again. So it's kind of like I'm listening just like you would be listening. And one thing I do, if you follow me on Twitter, is when I'm listening, I do what I call a Twitter rumble. And what that is I do some tweets regarding Pastor Paul's recorded message, so that if you are watching, following me, you'll be able to see some of those tweets, and they give you an idea about what Pastor Paul's message is about. A couple of the tweets, I'll just give you a couple that I did. One was Doctrine of Adoption, number 1, 2, and 3 points, Grace of God, number 2, privileges, and number 3, duties. Pastor Paul talks about that during the message. A couple others, he puts a ring of fire on your hand. He puts a passion of fire in your heart. And one that really is regarding my other links in here has to do with when we adopt, we look at desirable traits, but God adopts from love. So that brought me to my links. Now, when you have a personal relationship with the Lord, basically things in your life kind of come together and you look at things a little bit different. And what I mean by that is, for instance, when I listen to Pastor Paul's message, I listened to it, but then I watched a movie called Awakenings. And so for me, because of my relationship, because of how I think regarding the Lord, what happened when I listened to his message, when he talked about that people would never really adopt someone with mental illness or people that are retarded or people that just don't really fit up to what they believe is a whole person. I happened to be watching Awakenings on Wednesday evening, and that was prior to listening to the message, right? And so I'm watching Awakenings, and I really like the movie and everything, and I have links to Awakenings, Robert De Niro, Robin Williams, The Neurologist, Oliver Sacks, Musicophilia, that Dr. Sacks, he wrote that book, L-Dopa, The Drug Use, Leonard Lowe, The Patient, and The Edge Effect, a book I'm reading that has to do with different neurotransmitters. Well, as I was listening to the message, I started thinking about that movie. When I put that together, is like the awakenings that took place in the movie. And I'll give you just a very quick synopsis of the movie. Robin Williams plays the neurologist. Robert De Niro is the patient, Leonard Lowe, who has been in a comatose state for like 30 years since he's a child. And all these other patients are as well. And the neurologist, now this is a true story. The neurologist comes in, and rather than just kind of taking things like the other administrators and the other doctors and nurses, he kind of looks at this like, well, wait a minute, we have to try to help these people. We can't just go on like, well, this is just normal for them because I'm seeing them respond to different stimuli and everything. And so because he's so caring, and because he really is caring, and as well, he's a researcher, so he's used to doing research, and he wants to try to get at the bottom of this, these behaviors, he takes a personal interest in Leonard Lowe. What he does is he does research, and he finds that this drug L-DOPA is supposed to activate these. It's like a neurotransmitter that activates the brain so that there is going to be a response. What happens is he does this, and it works, and he does it on the other patients, and there's like a bunch of other patients, and they show them all. So they have this awakening, and then things don't turn out that well with the drug, because the drug, of course, we know drugs have a tendency to, you know, have side effects and different things like that. It kind of like our opening song with the White Rabbit. That's why I thought that was just so appropriate. Besides, I love the song and I love Grace Slick's voice, you know, but it's kind of like that, you know, drugs have these side effects. So this is kind of what happens. And I'm just going to stop there with the story. When I listened to Pastor Paul's message and I thought back about that movie, I thought, you know, when you have a relationship and when you receive the Lord on a personal relationship, I believe that you become awake then. You become awake. And one of the things that Robert De Niro says, as Leonard Lowe, the patient, when he's in this very awakened state, he just says, you know, life is so incredible. I mean, life is so good. I want to experience everything. I want to experience just walking down the street. I want to experience seeing things, doing things, loving people. He became just awake in life. And I just really put the two together. And I really believe that when you receive the Lord, you truly become awakened to the Spirit of God. You do see things differently. When you read your Bible, it is different. You are awake. So that's what my takeaway was. And another thing too, when you see the relationship between Robin Williams, who's a doctor who really wants to try to help him, the only thing he can use to help him is L-DOPA, and L-DOPA can only last so long because it's just a man-made drug. What I took away from that is that how we can try to help people, and we can try to teach them, we can try to heal them, we can counsel them and everything like that, but really only God can really touch people and truly awaken their spirit to understand and to know Him on a personal level. And that's what I took away from the movie as well as Pastor Paul's message, is that truly an awakening is the key thing with your spiritual life. I know you're going to get a lot out of the message, and I thank you for coming here, and I hope you join us for episode 88. Let God clean your clock. And I know that'll be a good one as well. God bless you. Have a great week.
Tonight's tape, and listen real careful now, and get into that spirit of listening. I am adopted. Tonight, let's enter into Ephesians 1 and 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Let's read that again. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, I believe this could be called the doctrine of God's did, or He hath done it. The Lord hath done it. And I believe whatever God does in time, He has also then predestinated to do in eternity. Know how some argue and find fault with predestination. They challenge predestination. And I believe all history and all Bible prophecy, all common sense says, what's your problem if you have a problem with predestination? I mean, don't you think that God, the master builder, has a plan? Don't you think that God, the master builder, has a purpose? When you build a house, don't you have a plan? You just all of a sudden decide to build a house? No, you probably dreamed about that house and thought about that house and went over all kinds of plans and everything, and got the right person to do it, or if you're a builder, you went out and you got all the materials and you started to go ahead and go according to your plan. Or you that are listening, that you're going to school. Do you have some kind of a plan? Or are you just going to school? I suppose there are some people that do that. Or when you go to work, do you have some kind of a plan? Of course you do. We all plan and we all premeditate. Think out before we do. God says, think it out before you start to build. Think it out. But we all premeditate all of the time. The carrying out of that which we read in the facts, that happened I'm talking about. Should I hope quiet such unreasonable hostilities? Because I believe no Christian argues about God's dealings, and yet they argue about his counsels. Do you find fault with the scripture that says God is pleased to save you and me? No, we don't find any fault with that at all. Then I thought, then why should we find fault with the scripture that states God predetermined he would save us? How many tonight are glad that God made plans? I am. I mean to say here, I see no reason why you should find fault with God's free, I believe, foreordination if you don't find fault with what does actually happen with the effect of it. I mean, we believe it after it happens. But see, it was a plan before it happened that caused the effect. It is the effectual calling, hallelujah. And we get so upset that God would dare to make a plan outside of our claiming and our own will. God has got a plan for you. And it says, before the foundation of the world was even founded, God knew you and he had a plan. Praise the Lord. You ever been someplace, you said, I've been there before, I've felt that, I've heard that same thing before? It's a peek off into the future. Say amen, somebody. It's a peek out there. And that's God's predestination. God foreknew you. Or do you think that God just has good intentions with a changeable mind? No, no, I thank God for his unchanging love. And I thank God for his unchanging hope that he gives us, and unchanging plans and unchanging facts that are in the Word of God. Unchangeable. Praise the Lord that we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. God had a plan, hallelujah, and so many people are having trouble with that. Do you blame me then for preaching tonight? Do I hear you on the radio saying no? Then can you find fault with me for preaching upon this particular subject? Okay, so if I am right in preaching this tonight, how can you then say I was not right in intending to preach upon it, that which I have chosen tonight? And so then, just as assuredly, you can't find fault with God's predestination if you don't find fault with the effects that immediately spring from them. I mean, if the effectual calling causes an effect, why argue about God's plan that brought you to that point? Now, as you look over your lives, don't you see that God was in it all the way down the line? Don't you see that God brought you to a point of surrender? Don't you see that there was a plan? Glory to God that there was a plan. You that are in jail right now, God's got a plan for you. And you that are in the insane wards, God's got a plan for you. And you in the nursing homes and all over, God has got a plan for you. Predestinated. Thought out before the foundation of the world, if you will. And so then I believe this. Remember the man that they said, go to the pool, and Jesus says, go to the pool and wash your eyes. And then after that, there was an effect, and he came back. What did they say? They started to argue with him. And he says, you know what? All I know is I was once blind, and now I see. Glory to God. God had a plan. You don't fit into it. In fact, you're ugly. Say amen, somebody. Can't you see the workings of the Holy Ghost? Can't you see the workings of the all-powerful, the almighty God? God has a plan, hallelujah, and all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. God has a plan. Whew. So glad that He has a plan, and the Scripture clearly teaches we can be sure God will perform that which He has stated. When God states in His Word and gives us a foreknowledge of what's to come, it'll happen. It will happen. You don't have to guess at it. You don't have to wonder at it. You know it's going to happen. And so then if I am called, I believe that before all the worlds that I should be called. Now, isn't that kind of a strange one? See, we try to figure that out with our little frontal lobes here. It isn't going to work. Before the foundation of the world was even found. Now, that is just so exciting to me. That'll make me take anything that God gives me. Glory to God. Because I'm fitting into the plan. Well, now, maybe that plan will make a martyr out of some of you. But I'd rather be in the plan than be a miserable living person. I'd rather be dead. Be a martyr for Christ, wouldn't you? Say amen, somebody. Oh, not me. Don't talk that way. You just cause it to happen by the mere mentioning it. No, it's going to happen. If it's going to happen, that's the way it is. If it ain't going to happen, it ain't going to happen. No matter what I say or what I claim, it's just the way it is. Are you hearing this? Predestination. Oh, I'm so glad for it. I believe I am regenerated because God intended and before planned it to be so. Oh, that's so hard for us to understand. No, you know, I just got good, and God says, well, you know, now that person has really changed, and I think I'll accept them into the kingdom of God because they're just getting so sweet I can't stand it no more. I'm just going, huh? Woo! But I know He isn't going to pick that guy over there because he's never going to get sweet. How many know there ain't no sweetness in us saving the Lord Jesus Christ? Say amen, somebody. Ooh, now I know there's one or probably two acts which are related to predestination, where it is difficult to say whether they were brought in during eternity or time. Election, I believe one thing for sure is election is from all eternity on to eternity. All that were elect are as much in eternity as they were in time. You have been elected. You are the elect. I first chose you. I first knew you. I had a plan. Now, I think we're going to get a lot of power when we fall into the plan of God. Say amen, somebody. When we just surrender and say, God, I want your will. Not my will be done. Not a hyper faith stand in a crowd and just claim everything there is to claim, but God, your will be done. When soldiers say, what's the orders? Oh, that's the kind of army you want. Isn't that right? Instead of everybody doing their own thing, well, I'm just not going to go over there. I just don't receive that. Oh, I hate that when people say, I don't receive it. No, huh? Their leg is chopped off. I don't receive it. You better go get that thing sewed back on again. I don't receive it. And they're always not receiving anything. They're non-receivers. Not open to what God has. And so they come up with these little Christian cliches. I don't receive. You give them an order, I don't receive that. Huh? I don't receive anything. They can't receive help because they're too proud to receive help. I don't receive it. Well, you give them some money, they'll receive that. But I mean most things. Then it's a blessing, isn't it? But yet, even if it was to cause them to fall, a house and a car and all those things that cause a man to stumble, they don't say, I don't receive it. Shouldn't they then, they knowing themselves, shouldn't they say, I don't receive that? It's kind of mixed up, isn't it? And then I believe as for justification, that also was done before the worlds when God accepted Jesus Christ as our representative. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the worlds. Hallelujah. The Lamb slain, the plan thought out before this ever was. Isn't that kind of heavy? Isn't that kind of beautiful? Doesn't that make you kind of wonder? Doesn't that put you down below God and say, God is God and have your own way, because we don't understand hardly anything? Jesus Christ paid my debts in full. My debts were canceled, is what it's saying. So I am justified by faith, by believing the facts. Isn't that easy? We start to believe the facts. And we are saved by believing the facts. And the fact is, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou will be saved. That's fact. And another fact is that salvation continues on, and I am your deliverer, he says. Prince of Peace. He gives you the peace and the joy and the righteousness in the Holy Ghost. He gives you everything. He predestined to die that you could have all those things. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that take the guesswork out of it? God knew me before the foundations of the world. That tickles me. That makes me feel like somebody, don't it you? Woo! You knew me before the foundations of the world. Now, I'm not going to ask God to explain that to me, because that would ruin it, because I'd never understand it. I haven't got the mental capacity to understand it. All I know is his love is this goes on forever and has been forever for me. And so now then let us leave predestination and let us enter into the doctrine of the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And we'll look at three things tonight. Number one, the adoption, the grace of God displayed in it. Whew, always the grace of God. Number two, the adoption, the privileges that it brings. And thirdly, the duties which it necessarily places upon every adopted child. There is a duties and many duties that we are expected to do. So first, the adoption and the grace of it. The grace of God takes us away from Satan and puts us into the family of God. Now, the minute you're saved, you're taken out of the family of Satan and you're put into the family of God immediately. And you know what you suffer? Withdrawal. You know how it is when you're withdrawing from alcohol or cigarettes or drugs? There's a withdrawal. There's the old self that wants to just go back and see how their friends are doing. Maybe witness to them. Well, actually want to get in there and do the thing with them, see? There's withdrawal. It might go on for a year. It might go on for 2 years where the symptoms come up all of a sudden. And you have the flesh starts to crawl and you want to get back with these friends again. Some people even do. Most people do. But you know what? God's call is very effectual. And you go back there, and you know what? You don't fit in. Because you've been called away from the family of Satan onto the kingdom of God, and you belong to Jesus Christ. You're in a new realm now. You don't fit in. Right in the middle of a great big beer blast, you say, praise the Lord, and they kick you out. You don't fit in. Oh, God, I don't fit in. Praise God, you don't fit in. I used to be so much fun, and everybody liked to have me at the party, but now they say, oh, here comes Dud. Withdrawal. And so now you, I'm not popular anymore. Nobody wants to talk to me anymore. And then maybe you get into a legal church. They don't want you. Well, who's stuck with you? God. He takes you just the way you are. Mixed up, selfish brats. And he takes us on as little children. He says, come as little children. So we come as spoiled brats. You know why? That's how come you get chastised so much. You're all spoiled brats. Say amen, somebody. Come on over here. You're now a child of God. Huh? And those arrays soon dying down when God starts dealing with you and you're under the hand of God. You start smarting under the hand of the Lord. You hearing this, preacher? Ooh, preacher, have you ever smarted under the hand of God? I mean smited. So first then, the adoption, the grace of it, the grace of God takes us away from Satan and puts us, I said, into the family of God. That means we share his name. We become Christians. Christians. Are you hearing this? We share in his name, and we also share in the privileges as sons. We are the offsprings of God. Ooh. Okay, now a lot of people think they have to live up to that then right away. How many are hearing this tonight? They think they have to live up. Okay, now let's settle down here tonight. They think they have to live up to being a child of God. So they get into a home improvement program. How many know that doesn't work? How many doesn't work? How many know that you can try all the home improvement programs you want to, read every pamphlet, every book, you can study every scripture, but until the Holy Spirit teaches you, you know nothing. You can get up and quote scriptures like a parrot. You can just get up there and just parrotize all them scriptures. You can get up there and you can fight each other with scriptures and wrestle them to your own destruction. Doesn't mean a thing until it's in your heart, until God deals with you, until God brings it into your frontal lobes, drops it down into your heart, and you live it by experience. Say amen, somebody. You are a child. He is the King, and he is your Father, and he will teach you with many chastisements. He doesn't spare the rod, by the way. Because you know what? This is an act of pure grace. No one can force the adoption. Can you force God to adopt you? Hey! No. It was predestinated who was going to be adopted and who was going to be conformed into the image of his son. You hearing this? So a lot of times people go in, they're not born again, not filled with the Spirit, and they claim that they're adopted. They got the wrong t-shirt on. They get into heaven, they have the wrong garments on. Say, get out. What are you doing in here? Say amen, somebody. You can't claim adoption. No. Not by yourself, you can't. Not without the grace of God, not without the effectual calling, not with God, without God calling you, and not with without your accepting. You think of it, though. I thought about it when people adopt. They plan. Honey, you know what? It's been several years now. We don't have any little ones running around the house. No pitter-patter little feet. And I am so lonesome, gushy boo. Huh? And they go on down, and they just think in their mind now, what would you like to have? And they get all these different pictures. It's almost looking at the courthouse like a mug chart. And they look at all these little mugs in there, and they look at all these people. And, you know, they ain't going to pick the one that is you know, kind of homely. Huh? Kind of mean looking. Are they? They're not going to pick the one the parents or the lineage isn't just what they want. Are they? I venture to say, if you put an adoption center right down here on Plymouth Avenue, nobody would come in here from anyplace else, would they? Because, see, we have already pre-concluded what we want, who we are going to adopt and who we wouldn't adopt. Well, we look for the qualities of high intelligence. What's the little guy's IQ? He looks so bright and so cute and little. Oh, he's just a doll, so clean. And look at that perfect little pearl teeth. Just perfect cute, huh? Look at those nice little clothes. It's a little chunk of love. But our Father adopts from love. He planned and predestinated to bring us in. No matter what we look like, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, if you have been predestinated to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and you are in the hand of the Father already, hidden in Christ in God, you're going to be called with an effectual call, and that calling is going to not only call you, it's going to bring you in, and it's going to keep you. You're kept by the power of God. Now, I hope you preachers are hearing me tonight, or this afternoon when you're listening. You listening on the tape. God is going to have his own way, and he's going to call in them people, even the people you don't want to get called in. You think you never will be called in. Probably you're not even saved yourself because you're into that judging, and you're into legalism and never been saved by grace yet. And I'm glad I said it. Say amen, somebody. Know a little about the grace of God. There's something wrong. Because when a person is called effectually and they've shown themselves, then they have that grace of God built in, and they say, oh, it's only God's grace. Because our Father, like I said, adopts from love. I see so many little children down here, dirty and hard and hateful. Hair all matted and uncombed and unwanted and undesirable. And I thought to myself, we go so much by what we see and by what we hear. I have a little guy comes up, and he is just so dirty. Know what I mean? In the norm and in the natural, you wouldn't want to touch him. But that little guy comes with his little arms out. Oh, comes running after. Oh, God. Isn't that just like us running after God? All of our dirty old sins hanging off of us. See, God looks at the heart. And he even takes us with our mean old nasty hearts. Here we are with our dirty old sins hanging off, and we're running, God, Daddy, huh? And he accepts us just the way we are. Isn't that funny that we can't accept each other just the way we are? Isn't it? Isn't it funny that we have to predetermine who's going to be saved and who isn't, and we're always going to be saved? Whew. Oh. Something happened even here today. A prophecy. So many people prophesy and doom over each other. Didn't I tell you you're going to end up this way? Didn't I? Well, you would have thought that person was God himself. And I just waited my turn, and I thought, well, there can be a lesson here for everybody. So I just waited a little while, and then this woman come, said, hey, look what I got for you. She pulled out a great big old hat. And I said, woman, I said, here, you have done all this judging and everything. Now the person you judged pulled out a hat and gave you a present. Now what you got to say? Well, you know what? She learned something from it. She says, I know what you're saying. And the other person learned something by it too. How many are hearing this? God, we can be so wrong all the time. Oh, we're so good. But, we got to come up with little encouragements once in a while. See, you can give somebody a heavy word, but it can be an encouragement also. So much ununderstanding. No understanding nowadays. Is there? No rules, no understanding of rules, no discipline, no nothing. How many are hearing this message? Predestinated. Did you know tonight you're sitting in here, it was predestinated that you would be here? Well, don't you think it was predestinated a few other folks would have been here? Where are they? Well, sometimes people don't always obey God either, you know. But it's the truth. You were predestinated to meet one another. We were predestinated to meet, and we all were. And God had a plan. And it was predestinated that Paul Arnopoulos would have a son called Steve. Predestinated. Before the foundation of the world was even found. Isn't that exciting? I don't believe it. Well, you're just like a whole lot of other folks. They don't want to believe that God makes plans. But you make plans, don't you? Oh, let's see, what can I do? Fun things, fun things. Oh, don't we plan fun things? Ya-da-da-da-da-da. Don't we make plans for fun things? Huh? Oh, where are you going to go on vacation? Well, first, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Make plans for that? No. How come it is? We can always make plans for vacation, but never make plans for work. God made plans for work, and oh, what a job he has. He made a plan to save all those billions of souls from the foundation of the world. And he's going to make his word come true. And he sticks to it. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I don't understand it, so what I can't understand, I don't want to listen to. And now we even become God in our world, don't we? And we determine whether our unborn babies should be terminated or not. Terminate. Think about that one. Know how many unwanted street people there are, walking around in rags, dirty, smelly, unwanted. Alcoholics. Last Wednesday I went out and there was 12 people that come to know the Lord down at the Hobo Run. There was an Indian fellow down there. His face and his head looked like a tomato. He had the great big old whiskey nose, you know, with all the pores that open up, way open up. And, I mean, it was bulbous. And the eyes are all swollen from the alcohol. And the under the ears, and you start to turn yellow under here. And after that he got saved, he says, I want you to know something, he says. I want you to know I believe what I prayed. Not only did I believe what I prayed, but I'll never forget what I prayed. And I left that guy, and he was smiling. He had hardly only a couple snaggle tooth hanging down. He was, you know, it just touched my heart so much, it just brought tears to my eyes. And he was smiling and waving as he went, you know, that great big old swollen up face of misery. The devil has done, but the devil lost. Devil lost because it was predestinated that that man should be saved. My God, predestined. God had a plan. A plan. Oh, and people say, a plan for that. And God looks at you and he says, what? See, you got to be careful. How you entertain strangers, you may be entertaining an angel unawares. Whew. All these people out there waving, no teeth, raggedy old clothes. Huh? Waving. Praise God. You think God was watching that scene? I know he was. You know something I know about God? He even gives you your tears. You won't have no tears unless God gives them to you. I know my old eyes were full of tears. Thank you, Lord, for giving me some tears. A little compassion. Thank you that I didn't have to play the part of Mr. Heavy that night. What a sight. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sight. Retarded and mentals. Who will adopt from? Who? Who wants them any other way? Praise be to God. Jesus Christ our Lord wants them. Be careful, Christian. God's children are all over the place at the highways and byways. Have you witnessed lately? Besides, he who knows himself will not be so quick to pre-conclude who will be saved or not. If I can be saved, anyone can be saved. God gave us, like I said, our tears, and God gives us our conviction. You can't even get convicted on your own. You don't want to get convicted. You don't want to get convicted. You hate conviction. It's terrible. It makes you feel miserable. That's why people don't like messages that convict them. I don't know if I exactly agree with that. And a guy came up to me years ago. He says, "You know what? I got convicted tonight, but I shouldn't have got convicted." I says, "What does that mean?" "Brother," I said, "God gave you conviction. You can't. You think you conjured up conviction on your own? Are you mad at yourself because you got convicted and you made yourself get convicted? You didn't make that. God gave you conviction. Now God is going to give you some tears for even saying that. Then you're going to have more conviction. And you're going to feel more miserable till you just admit you're nothing in yourself and God gave you that conviction. Got it? You can't do nothing without me. You can't even cry without God. You can bawl and rant and rave and scream, but I'm talking about tears of compassion. You cannot do that by yourself. And you cannot even repent by yourself. Repentance is of the Lord. "I repent." No, you don't. You're not sorry. You're sorry you got caught. Because even if you don't get caught by people when you're laying in bed, you're repenting. You just feel terrible. Oh, God. Gee. You know what? You're backsliding, and God will just, it says, God gives. The backslider is filled. And you just get filled up. Now, some will argue with me about this, but you know they're showing all this pornography and all this filth and junk all the time. You know what's going to happen? People are going to get fed up with it. Did you know that? They'll get fed up with it. The homosexual will get fed up with that, and the drunk will get fed up with that. You know what? With all the sin that's going on right now, people are getting fed up with it. And they're looking for a better way. Fed up. You get fed up with yourself. Well, did you ever say that? "I'm sick of myself. I hate myself." Are you fed up with yourself yet? No, not quite. Okay, well, go ahead. Eat, feast on it, and you'll get sick soon enough. You will. You will get fed up with your ways, because God's ways and God's thoughts are way above your ways and your thoughts. And you'll get fed up with you'll get fed up with your little acting. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you know, half the time you don't mean it. And you'll get fed up with that. You'll say, "God, make me real. This is good. This is good." Recognize it though as phonyism. Okay? How many recognize there is phonyisms in us? Come on. And you'll get fed up with you. Say, "God, stop me right now. Just fill me with unphonyism." Okay? And you'll start to realize it's all by the grace of God. And if you got anything, God has to put it into you. He has to put it into you. Because so many times you start acting that part out, and pretty soon you don't know when you're lying and when you're telling the truth. Most of the time you're lying. You know, a liar, they can lie so much that they just they think they're telling the truth. And it's the same way when you lie to ourselves. "Oh, I just got so much love and compassion." And you're just not there unless God puts it there. Okay, I mean, that's the way it is. Ooh, can we boast in anything? No. Is there any beauty within any of us that would induce God to adopt us? Now, self-righteous wonders of the world, that's how you preach. You're listening on the radio, some of you preachers. You think that God just couldn't stand it because you were such a wonderful person. He said, "Woo-wee, there's one down there. I got to have that. That's woo." This is a high price on this person. This person is worth a lot. Trillions. who set him aside as Mr. Wonderful. No, there is nothing within a person that would induce God to wanting them. It's only His love and His grace and His mercy and the dying of His Son and the accepting of the blood of Jesus Christ that would induce Him to even wanting you. But people preach like that. They preach like God just could not stand it. He wanted me so bad. He had to have me. You haven't seen yourself yet. My God, you haven't seen yourself. You haven't. Because there is no beauty within us that would induce God to adopt us. On the contrary, we were everything that was repulsive. Oh, letters. We get letters, huh? We were everything that was repulsive. And yet, He puts a robe around us. He puts a ring of love and a ring of fire around our finger, and He gives the high sacrifice of all times, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, for us to feast upon. Any arguments? Do I hear an argument from anybody on the radio? Would you care to come up and stand and say, hey, that's not the way it is. There is no such a thing as predestination. Well, let's suppose then that you were before a judge as a traitor. And you were condemned to die. Are you hearing this? And the judge steps down and he says, you know what? You are forgiven. And you would stare at the judge and say, what? The verdict is in. The world has decided. I said, you are fully pardoned. You have a clear record. It will be remembered no more. Clean slate. Wow, I would say. And then the judge would continue. He said, you are made rich, and I will make you strong. You will be able to resist your enemies. Man, my cheeks start to blush with joy. Ooh, this is judge. It's enough. Just let me out. Over these prison walls, I will fly. It's enough. Stop. It's giving me joy unspeakable and full of plenty. Oh, and furthermore, you are adopted into the royal family. Now I'm getting joy unspeakable and full of plenty, okay? You have been made a son of God. And everybody's sitting out there, and there's a few legalists sitting out there in the courtroom. Death! A lynching crew. Furthermore, you will wear a crown. Boy, now they are mad. You will have a fine robe. I predestinated this to be so. Irregardless of everybody in this courtroom. Will you receive that? Well, you'd be crazy not to, wouldn't you? Now, maybe some of the other people don't want to receive that. We don't receive it. It doesn't make a difference. This guy still received it. By faith. I receive it. And the rest of these elder sons stay outside of God. Because they cannot see the plan of predestination. How God had pre-concluded before this whole thing ever came on. That I'm going to set him free. He's going to be freely forgiven. There is a sacrifice. There is an atonement for sins. I'm going to give him a robe, and I'm going to give him a crown, and I'm going to give him a feast, and I'm going to put him in the royal family, whether they like it or not. And so they start to dress him up, and they put a crown on him and a robe on him and a ring on him. And he walks out of the courtroom. Do you think he's loved? He's hated. And people hate it when they see people with great big old swollen up faces and a great big old bulbous nose. And the mole swollen up eyes and the yellow from the bad liver, yellow streaks in here. And they look out there and they see this person saying, "I understand." And they see him out there waving. Ooh, God made a choice. Go ye out to the highways and to the byways and minister unto all creation. Woo! Woo! I mean, can we possibly imagine the greatness of adoption? No, I believe it'll take all eternity. We will sing forever and ever, "Heavenly Father, I appreciate you." Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love and adore you. I'll give my life for you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. And you'll get all done and you'll think about something else. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. And you'll sing through the whole thing and then you'll think of something else. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. And then you get all done and you'll sing another thing. Oh, that must be take care of it all. Oh, there's something else. Oh, Heavenly Father. Some say to me, they say, "I believe, Pastor Paul, that men are adopted because God foresaw that they would be holy and that they would be righteous and that they would be faithful." And to that I say, stink. No, the fruits of a Christian are what he's rooted in, not the root that causes the fruit. Is that right? It's the root that causes the fruit and not the fruit the root. Say amen. The root is what causes you the fruit. It's what you're planted in. And so when you're taken in and adopted and grafted in and planted, that's what causes your fruit. You can boast in nothing. You can take no credit. The Bible says, oh, and listen to it, some will reject, and so he has the right to forgive and pardon some. He also has the right to leave the others to be unwashed, unforgiven, unsaved, to reject Christ, to despise the gospel and to ruin their very own souls. If you don't agree with this, you don't agree with Scripture. I don't have to prove this, only preach it. I sow the Word of God, and God is the one that gives the increase. But the Bible explicitly says there will be some that will meet hellfire. And so then number two, the privileges which come to us through adoption. Everlasting salvation. Release from the old world family and friends. You have a release. You have been released from this old family and these old friends. You're not under bondage to them anymore. Isn't that great? Ooh, that's a privilege. And you will be chastened as a child. Ooh. Now you have a new name and you have a new nature. We have the spirit of children. We can boldly come to the throne room of God. And you know, if that doesn't happen to you, then you have to start to tremble, fearing that we're not children of God when we're not disciplined. I'm so glad that God disciplines me, aren't you? You know when he disciplines you that you know you're a child? When you get your lumps and your hits and your bumps, Actually, it's good, because then you know you're a child of God. Did you ever notice a child after it gets his paddling? Pretty soon they come up and they're all peaceful and they're all got their arms around you, and pretty soon they're Mom, where's my color crayon? Now remember, now don't scatter them all over. I won't. And they're all happy. Stay in the lines. Okay, Mommy. That means don't write on the wall, of course, doesn't it, darling dear? And you know why they're happy? They know that they are sons and daughters when we read our Bibles. Praise the Lord, dear. Isn't that right? And we know that God's around. How many hearing this? We will be disciplined. God takes on the responsibility of raising us. Now, I've worked with a lot of people. You know what? I don't want to take on the responsibility of raising them. Huh? Just think, as your earthly parents, they have to raise you so you outwardly look good. You go to school and you comb your hair and you wash your ears. You do all the thing that Mom and Dad said because you want to look good. What will people ever think? Look at how you look. But God takes on the job, your Father, of changing you on the inside. That's a little heavier trip, right? Much heavier trip. And he says, I'll take on the responsibility of Booze Nose over here. I love him. That's a great kid. And I'm going to take it on, and I'm going to chastise Booze Nose until he changes. I know how to do it. I'm a good father. And so who do you see sitting in church? Booze Nose. Smiling around with no teeth. But is it Booze Nose? He looks different. Same nose, same person, different spirit. The spirit of adoption has taken over. Have you been adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ? You must belong to the family of God. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, he's a really good father. He chastises me daily. Every time I think about having another slug or two, you know what I mean? Oh, he's faithful. He's going to raise me up into the image of his son. Are you hearing this? Oh, God, this is dealing with humanity. This is dealing with people. This is dealing with you. This is dealing with the hobos. This is dealing with your mom, with your dad, with everybody. How many are hearing this tonight? Isn't it wonderful that God predestinated and chose you, honey? Ooh. So what do other people know? Doesn't that tickle you? Did you hear what I said, Satan? God predestinated. Ooh. We will be made to understand. God will not spare the rod of correction. You can always come to God, but you better tell the truth. And the truth will set you free. You will be made into the image of his son. Made. You got it made. See, you got it, and you got it made. Because God is going to make you into the image. God is going to make you have joy. You ever do that with your kids? Try to make them have joy? They aren't going to have no joy. They're just pouty and mean, and they're going to have no joy. Hate you, hate you. And then they just keep after you till you have joy. Then your mom brings a mirror. You look in there at your old face all twisted up. That makes you want to have joy, doesn't it? Looking like that. and they make you have peace. Don't you make your baby have peace? They're upset. And they're upset. They didn't get their bottle on time, and some kid poked them in the face, and they bumped their head, scraped some skin off, going under the table because they grew an inch. I mean, you know, and it's that their day was terrible, and they're upset, and they're sobbing. Well, I don't know. It's been a long time, okay? But anyway, you soothe them. It's all right. It's okay. You soothe them, and you soothe them, and you take a rag and put their hair back, and it's a nice, cool rag, and you know, wash them all down, you know, nice. Throw a little powder on them and sing, "Rock-a-bye, my baby." It's an old one, but it's my baby, rock-a-bye, my baby. I don't know how the end goes, but and the kid goes to sleep. You made them to have peace. You made them to have confidence. You made them to have joy, and you made them to get to work, and you made them to go to school, and you made them to do this, and you made them to do that. They didn't like you very well at times. But later on, they said, "You know what? I am so glad for my mother and my dad. They made me do that when I was a kid." So many people are so afraid of what their kids might think of them. Later on, the kid will hate you because you didn't make him do this and you didn't make him do that. And so you made him sad and you made him blue and you made him, and you helped him to get pregnant when they were 12 years old and, you know, all these things by just being a buddy. "I only want a buddy, not a sweetheart. Sweethearts always make me blue, huh?" You have to make it. And the way to make it, by the way, is trusting in the Lord. How many are hearing his message tonight? "You will be made into the image of his son." And Psalm 103:13 says like this, another blessing. We are pitied by God. Listen to what it says. "Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are but dust." Look at the first part of that. Like as a father, he doesn't say like a man pitieth a man, as the rich, as the poor, as the strong, as the feeble, as a free man, as a captive, but makes mention of that pity, and listen to it. "As a father shows of his son, which is the greatest of all." Look at the prodigal son that returned to the father. That great pity, so when you're in kind of mental straits, God has pity on you. Not pity like a man. "Oh, I feel so sorry for him. What'd you say? Go to Burger King? Okay, let's go." But when God pities you, he moves in with you. He's party, that's a pity party. He moves in with you. And when you're down and when you're blue and when you're depressed, God has pity on you, but pity as the Father has. Pity like the Father had when the prodigal son was out there and he was in the hog pen and he was out in the world and he was spending all his money on riotous living. And he pitied him and he says he stood at the doorway and he waited and he waited and he waited and his heart grew heavy and he had pity on him. Whew. So we have the Lord's pity. The Father pitieth his children that are weak in knowledge. And so he instructs them. He has pity on us because we don't know too much. When we are too forward, he bears with us. When your kids are forward, don't you bear with them? Don't you have to bear with your kids sometimes? They're stomping their foot. And when they are sick, he comforts them. Don't you comfort your little ones when they're sick and they got a high fever and they're laying there, their lips are all swollen and their eyes are kind of rolled back in their head and they got sweat all over them, you know. Don't you have pity on them? How much more do you think the Father pities you when you're in a sweat? How much more do you think he comforts them? And when they fall, he helps them up again. He pities them. When they have offended and upon their submission, he forgives them. Thus the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth it goes on our frame, our formation, how we are constructed, that we are constructed of dust. Says he remembereth that we are dust. And lastly, there are some duties which are connected with adoption. And here it is in closing. When the believer is adopted into the Lord's family, there are many relationships which are to be and are broken off. The relationship with old Adam and with the law ceases at once. You are no longer under the law, you are under grace. The Adam's family of monsters must be left behind, and you could have that one character, you could have Lurch open the door one more time and leave. But then he is now under a new law, the law of grace, under new rules, under a new covenant. Now it's your duty to obey God, and we must change, not because of law, but because of love we want to. We are to seek the image of Jesus Christ in Psalm 104:23. Man goeth forth unto his work and the labor until evening. I started to think about that. We get up in the morning and we work and there's 12 hours to work. And I don't think we should work any more than that. Because it says the animals, it says prior to that in the scripture that the animals hunt at night. Man goeth forth and it is his turn now. The sunrise has made things bright, and the sunrise has made things ready for him. And that means he has to leave his warm little old bed. The comforts of his home to find food and to find God's purposes. Then it goes on, unto his work and to his labor until the evening. The fruit of his faith then is work. And the motivation of his faith, love, because faith works by love. He goes forth not to sport, it says, but to work. Not to loiter, but to labor. We are made to work, and we ought to work, and never grumble about our appointment. Are you hearing this? Let me say one more thing in closing here. Let us perform one more duty. Because that we are sons, and here it is, trust in the Lord. Listen to this, Psalm 2 and 12. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. We have trust, and we have to put it into him. Are you hearing this? I thought to myself, have we a share in his blessedness? Well, we do if we trust in him. Our faith may be as slender as a spider's one of his little deals coming down like that, but it's still, God honors it. Did you know that? What we have to do in all of this is learn how to trust in the Lord. That's why tonight I've talked to you about predestination. Because it's so wonderful. It's so God. It's so out there. It's so for you. That God knows. God knows you. He knows you. He knows you before the foundation of the world was even founded. Just like your mother and your father know you. They know what to expect out of you. Don't you know what to expect out of your children after you've been with them for a while? How much more? And don't you make plans, mothers and fathers, don't you make plans ahead of that kid? Don't you? You better. I made plans for my kids because I knew myself. How many are hearing this? I made plans. I knew what was inside of me. So I sort of pre-concluded things, and I sort of started making plans, and God is making plans for you right now. Will you fit into them? Will you seek the will of God? So much ministry right now is not seeking the will of God. It's just seeking after self, and it's seeking after this, and it's seeking after that. God, I'm so sick of it, I don't want to hear no more of it. I am fed up with it. Will you, listening on the radio, will you just seek the Father? To say, God, what is your will? I know you have a plan, and I want to fit into that plan, whatever that you have for me. Because I know I'm going to be happy in that thing. I know I'm going to get a witness in my spirit. Will you do that tonight? Will you say, Lord, and you know, it's so easy to get off into other stuff, though, isn't it? Isn't it? Self-seeking and, God. The Bible says, know yourself. Do you know yourself well enough to say not to trust in yourself? Or lean upon your own understanding? Oh, I know myself. Oh, yes. How many in here tonight know themselves? God. I know myself, and you know what? When I trip and fall in my thinking even, I'm not talking about getting into open, wanton sin. You have to be careful as a preacher, because wonder what he did. None of your business. But I'm talking about even in our thinking, all right? I know myself. Not fully. I don't want to know myself all the way. But I know one thing. I have got to depend on the grace of God, and I have to trust in the Lord that he is able to keep me under that hour. And I know he will, because what he started out to do in me, he's going to finish. And I know that he loves me so much, he loves you so much, that he's going to give you the rod, and he's going to cause things will befall you. I mean, sometimes we just allow our kids to get into trouble and problems and so on like that. And you know what? Round about the way, they come in to know you, and they come in to know the Lord. Just trust in the Lord. Lean ye not upon your own understanding. My God, it works out every time. Ooh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's such a message as predestination? Aren't you? See, it doesn't take any kind of a mind to figure out what's going on in the world today. The Bible tells us. The Bible tells us what's going on in the world today. Corruptness. And I know I could fall right into that thing, given a half of a chance. But I know the grace of God is able to keep me under that hour. Say amen, somebody. Don't you get discouraged or let your flesh use somebody else as an excuse for not depending upon the grace of God. Praise the Lord for predestination. And some night, some day, I'm going to get into justification and election. It's just so exciting. God can show us that the job that's completely done. He hath done it. Whew. He hath done it. Honey, God has already done it. You know that? Isn't that wonderful, sweetheart? Huh? Yeah. He hath done it. He's done it. You feel better. You know why? God preordained that you'd be here tonight, that you'd come into this church and be saved, okay? And now what happens is a little war going on between the flesh and the spirit. Mm-hmm. See, it's a war going on. But see, you have the right to leave your friends, and you have the right to leave the bottle, and you have your, and I'm just talking, we're all friends here, and we have the right to do those things, see? And also, God gives you the power to do it. Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah, I don't even want to be bothered.
You don't want to be bothered. Yeah, that's right. I know it. It's just a pain, isn't it? A pain in the neck, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It really is a pain. It is. And you know, the more that you come into this, the more you understand that God knew you from the beginning, and hey, he's going to have his way. I mean, if he takes that rod and has knots all over our heads, we're going to change, because he predestinated to be, hey, you're my kid, and you're going to change. What? Whoop! Huh? And you get up and you're staying, what was that? Yeah, get a little further over there next to your sin and just get ready to step into it. Whoop! Huh? Because God predestinated, foreknew, that you were going to be conformed into the image of His Son. And if you have to lay in the hospital with both legs, V for victory, with your legs and your arms, then that's the way you're going to have victory. But He's going to have you if He has to take you home. If you get so dangerous to yourself, God will just take you home. Say amen, somebody. Now, is there anybody in here tonight that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? You can have Him. It's very, very night. Boy, it takes a lot of worry out of things when you know that God predestinated things. Had a plan. Anyone here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Now, is there anybody in here? How about over there? Do I know the little girl? Are you born again, honey, over there? Right there? Are you? Okay. Okay, we haven't missed anybody. Now, just two quick comments from the radio for the radio audience here. Someone? Huh? Just a quick comment. Somebody, they can help somebody outside. This is the whole message, too. You know, you have to predetermine that you want to help people. You really do, you know. God will give you the grace to do it. God says, make plans and I'll establish them. Just determine in your heart you want to do something for the Lord, and you'll say, okay. Okay. Anyone in here got a word? Just a little quick one. You got one, honey? Okay. Okay.
And they things don't work out for me. I tell myself the devil is doing his work, but God will overcome.
When things don't work out for you, you always say to yourself, God will help you to overcome. Is that about the gist of what you said? Yeah. Yeah, isn't that great? Well, let's hear a clap on that one. We are more than overcomers through Christ who strengthens us. Is there anybody else like to give a word of encouragement to someone? Well, right here.
Well, like today is the day before my wedding, and usually like everyone in the world always has these bachelor parties and that stuff. And like I went to a gas station today and got some gas and stuff, and there's all these dirty magazines, and I could just hear Satan going, go ahead, get one. It's your last night as a single man. You're not going to have a bachelor party. But it was only by God's grace that kept me from it.
Yeah. Isn't that great? You know, that's a great victory. Yeah. Don't you feel good now? Just think how scungy you would have felt if you had picked up on that magazines.
Really?
Oh. And you know, what happens? See, you pick up on that magazines. You know what happens? Then pride gets in. Say, hey, I was going so great. Now I got to go back to kindergarten. Ooh, I hate it. You know what I mean? And so you have to watch that too, see. But what happened here is that you learned a lesson. And you said just the right words, but for the grace of God, you would have picked one of them scungy old things up, see? But as it is, right now you can give God all the glory, see? And then there's a danger. If you don't give God all the glory, the next time you just go in there and grab one of them, see? It's true. Yeah? So you have to just keep praising the Lord and give them testimonies about your deliverances, because people suffer with stuff like that. Was a wonderful testimony. Isn't that right? How many know that was a great testimony? That was hard to do. Huh? Well, come on, it was only two people clapping. Go ahead.